Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 9 strongly emphasizes to us the true and real condition of our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Puritan preacher Isaac Ambrose wrote, "The heart, this of all foes, is the most subtle and crafty. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Then keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Indeed," he says, "the heart is the chief monarch of this little world, man."
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton and I'm delighted to have you join us here on Let the Bible Speak. If these programs have been a blessing to you, if you perhaps have any questions, then contact us. The email address is pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. We're going to take you to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the message, "Beware the heart of the false teacher." Oh, how we need to be aware of those who teach false doctrine, who desire to lead disciples away after them and to corrupt the true teaching of the Scriptures.
First Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to read together from the verse number 3. Of course, verse 2, the very end, there's instruction given to Timothy, "These things teach and exhort." And then verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his heart or his word this morning. Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 9 strongly emphasizes to us the true and real condition of our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Puritan preacher Isaac Ambrose wrote, "The heart, this of all foes, is the most subtle and crafty. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Then keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Indeed," he says, "the heart is the chief monarch of this little world, man, which rules and commands all other parts. It is the main wheel of the machine which sets all the rest of the wheels going. It is the fountain of all our thoughts, words, and actions. As the heart is, so is the whole man." And the heart of man is the seat of our affections. It often betrays who we really are, despite our outward image. That is why the Lord speaks that man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God seeth the heart. The Lord sees our hearts, and the heart is naturally inclined against God and against his commandments. It is inclined unto wickedness and corruption. And in his first epistle to Timothy, the Apostle Paul says much about the false teacher. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, we read, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Again, he speaks to Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And so Paul's emphasis is upon the error of these teachers. And what connection has that to the heart? Well, the heart of these false teachers are hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked. Hearts that have never known and experienced the blessing of the true gospel of Christ. And here in 1 Timothy 6, we have what we could refer to as the false teacher. The false teacher, or the heart of the false teacher. In the verses that we have read together, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, it is the heart, it is, as it were, that attitude of the false teacher that is in view. Paul has spoken about false teachers, and now he comes back to this subject, and he says, this is who they are. As they do this, as they teach false doctrine, this is what their heart is like. It's not the heart of a believer. Proud, knowing nothing, doling about questions and strifes of words, perverse disputings of men, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, to take some of those aspects. And the true believer is not to show these things within their lives. These attitudes are not to be found within the heart of the child of God, because these things point to the one whose heart is not right, the heart of the false teacher. After preparing the bulk of this message, the title as well, Beware the Heart of the False Teacher, I then turned to a volume of John Calvin's sermons when he preached through 1 Timothy, and I went to his sermon on these specific verses. The first time I'd opened it, we had the outline, the structure, we had a large part of the sermon, the title, and his sermon on this was called Beware of False Guides. Certainly a very similar, the same kind of theme. And he reminds us here of the great warning that Paul gives Timothy concerning false teachers. And you may say today, well, Pastor, we've had enough warnings about false teachers leading us down a false path. We've went through 1 Timothy. We've considered Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not, in recent months. Other times as well, the importance of truth as opposed to that which is false. We've had this teaching. We know about these things. When we think of the children of Israel in the book of Judges, they had much teaching concerning truth. And what happened a short while, almost every time after their deliverance, they turned around, they fell into sin, they marched down the false path, they listened to the false prophets. And therefore, the Church of Christ can never hear enough warnings to stay fixed upon the path of truth. Dear believer, you and I should be glad and we should rejoice that we have the truth of God, that we don't need anything else, that we don't want anything else, but the truth of God which sets us free. And this warning in 1 Timothy 6 is built upon what has gone before in this epistle. Paul has spoken of the great mystery of faith, how Christ has delivered his people through the glorious gospel, the gospel that points to Christ alone as our Savior. We're reminded of the fellowship that we have with God. We're reminded of the structure of the Church of Christ. We are reminded as well that the gospel message is not to entertain us, it is to feed us with sound doctrine. We are to keep to the pure and clear word of God. And the false teacher, in contrast to all of that, is one who sets aside the simplicity of the word of God and the clearness, the clarity of Scripture. And that can be done in many ways. Not merely by twisting and corrupting the truth of the gospel and the cross of Christ into something which they are not, but also by not using God's way in the way that it ought to be used. There may be someone who stands up, and I've heard sermons by men And they have said all the right things. You couldn't fault what they say. They speak of Christ. They speak of Christ's love. There was a royal wedding not so long ago, and the man that spoke said a lot of good things. I didn't review that sermon as I came to consider this today, and so this isn't my stamp of approval on the sermon or anything like that, but there were things that were said. He was passionate about what he said. But what was missing? That was crucial. There were things missing. The presentation of sin. The presentation of Christ, the Savior. These great, important, fundamental truths of the gospel. And this happens continually. The right things can be said. Oh, you need to be close to God, and you need to read the Word of God, and you need to live toward others with love in your heart. But the great gospel truths are set aside. They're set aside. The importance of turning from sin, of looking unto Christ. And we need to beware as well, because false teachers can come as angels of light. All the right things can be said, but what is missing? What is missing? And the gospel is food for our souls. Calvin emphasized this. But if someone tried to feed us on things of no substance, however pleasing they might look and however tasty they might at first seem, what purpose would it serve if it were not real food? We need the real truth of the gospel to feed us. And Paul says here in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness. The standard is set here. The words of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the truth of God that is contained in His Word, not in the ideas of men, but in the Word that God has given. If they teach contrary to the Word of God, then this is the condition of their heart. And we are to avoid such teachers. We'll come to that. The sad reality today is that many good Christians, many Reformed Christians, many pastors and teachers do not have a serious attitude towards false teaching and all that it contains. Excuses are made. Associations and working relationships are maintained. The diluting of gospel truth is supported. And we need to understand as well that holding to truth and preaching to truth isn't just about having a confession of faith or saying that we believe Christ and we teach the Bible, but actually doing it. Actually doing it. We should recognize man's sinful estate, his utter helplessness to deal with that sin, the finality of God's judgment, the grace of God in sending Christ to be the only Savior, the full atonement, the finished work of Christ upon the cross. Christ is the center of our salvation, Christ alone. And how are we saved? Faith and repentance in Christ, a turning from sin and a living of a life, a godly life on to God. We need to treasure the gospel. We need to hold to this truth. But the false gospel, the false teacher promotes erroneous ideas about salvation. There's a void in their presentation of truth. It comes from a sinful, corrupt, and wicked heart. And I want us to consider then today, beware the heart of the false teacher. Beware the heart of the false teacher. And there are a number of thoughts that we have. Firstly, a defiant heart. A defiant heart. Verse 3, we have, if any man teach otherwise. If any man teaches that which is against the words of Christ. We have two thoughts combined here. If we consider verse 4 as well, he is proud. There's a heart that rebels and the heart that is proud. And both stand in defiance to the God of heaven. In verse 2, and verse 2, Timothy is instructed to teach and exhort regarding these truths. This is the position of the pastor. to set forth what we are to do, how we are to act in light of the Word of God. This can often annoy people. This can frustrate people. This can bring conviction against a sin or a practice that has to change, and there's friction. Or maybe, bluntly, there is a heart that is defiant against the Word of God. You like your sin. You like this particular sinful action. You don't even view it as sin. And it's got your heart, and you're longing after it, and you're desiring it. Maybe you're doing it in secret. And the pastor comes along, not knowing what you do behind closed doors, and he preaches a sermon, 40 minutes on that particular sin, and he hits it hard. He tells you what God thinks of that sin. And you have two options set before you. You either have the option of God's Word entering in, of the Spirit of God coming and changing you and changing your life and heart to go against that sin, or you stand defiant against the pastor, against God, against His Word. And dear congregation, to go against the truth that God has given us is to have a heart that is defiant and in rebellion to God. The sinner who rejects the message of the gospel. You today who know not Christ, who have maybe time and time again turned around and said in your heart, I'll not repent. I'll not believe the gospel. I know that it set forth as truth. I know others who believe it. I know my family members believe it, but I will not accept it. I will continue in my sin. I will continue rebelling against God. And your heart is in a state of defiance against the God of heaven. And out of that defiant heart comes many things. No peace, no salvation, no redemption, no sanctification, no resting in the truth that makes us free in Christ. There's to be a repentance. There's not to be a defiance. O believer, that you would not display to your Redeemer and your Savior, as you're taught in His Word, the same type of heart the false teacher displays, and you defy His truth. Defying the truth of God, opposing the truth of God, not consenting or being submissive to wholesome words, even the words of Christ, is the attitude of the heart of the false teacher. It should not be the attitude of the people of God. You should desire to receive the truth of the gospel, that truth of the Word for your own good, to be fed with all the truth of God, no matter how defiant, no matter how that defiant heart may taste that spiritual food. Your heart may not like it, but you need it. It's like a child who's unwell and they need to take medicine. The medicine is not the nicest taste in the world. It's not like candy or ice cream or cake. And they don't want to take it, but they need to take it for their good and for their health. And the Word of God is most necessary to our spiritual health. And we must understand that. The Word of God, whether it's to you, unbeliever, or to you, believer, it is most necessary to your spiritual health. I want you to pause for a moment and listen to the noise. I hear the fan in the corner. You might hear it too. It's a little warm up here. But listen, there's a noise. There's a metaphorical noise. There's a noise of each person here tramping, marching, walking, running, sprinting. You may say, what do you mean? We're sitting down. Our feet aren't even moving up and down on the floor and making noise. What are you talking about? We are all marching. As we sit here, there's the noise, as it were, of our feet marching towards God's eternity. That's our direction. We're not marching this way and that way and the other way. We're on a singular path toward the end of our lives, toward eternity. Some perhaps are nearly there. There's another few corners. Some perhaps are further back. Some are closer to the start than to the end. Some are sprinting, some are running, some are walking slowly. But we're all going that way. And young person, you too are on that path. There may be some people further ahead of you. We don't know where you are on this path. And it's the same as those who are old. We're marching this path to eternity that will either be in God's heaven because we rest fully upon Christ alone, or God's hell because we have been defiant to the truth of God. We've listened to the false teacher. Maybe we've been that false teacher. Maybe we've took God's word and twisted it, and we think that all is well with our souls, but it's not. And we're resting in that which is untrue, or we're rejecting the gospel altogether, and our eternity will be in hell. We're all marching down that same path. And that is why the truth of the gospel of Christ is so vital. We're constantly moving toward eternity. And that is why you must not have a defiant heart, because you need to hear that gospel of Christ. It's like a race, and you're running, and you need water. To finish the race, you might need to refresh. And you stop, and you take that life-giving water. You refresh yourself. You pour it over your head. You pour it into your mouth. You cool down, and you continue so that you can make the end of the race. If you kept going, you would fall short. And the same is true in this path to eternity. If you keep going the way you're going in your sin, you will fall, you will fail, you will not be in heaven. You need to pause and take that life-giving water of Christ so that you will never thirst again. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 and the verse number 10. We have Goliath in view, and he says here, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Defying the armies of Israel. And what is he really doing? He is defying the God of heaven. He defies God. He curses God later on. But he's defying the armies of God. He's defying God himself. What happened to Goliath? The Word of God tells us that he didn't chop David's head off. David took his head. He failed. He defied God and he paid the penalty. And we cannot defy God. We cannot oppose his truth without paying the penalty. We're reminded in Matthew chapter 7, the foolish man and the wise man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Those who accept the truth build upon the rock. Those who don't, they build upon the sand. The man who defies the teachings of Christ builds on the sand. And what happened to that man? The winds came and the rain came and his house fell. Do you have a defiant heart today? Do you have a heart that tells you that it knows better than God? Verse 4 says, "He is proud, knowing nothing." There is nothing worth knowing if Christ is rejected. And the gospel and sanctification should not make us proud believers. It should humble us.
Spurgeon's devotional today is taken from the words of Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Praying always. What multitudes of prayers we have put up from the first moment when we learned to pray. Our first prayer was a prayer for ourselves. We asked that God would have mercy upon us and blot out our sins. He heard us. But when he had blotted out our sins like a cloud, then we had more prayers for ourselves. We have had to pray for sanctifying grace, for constraining and restraining grace. We have been led to crave for a fresh assurance of faith, for the comfortable application of the promise, for deliverance in the hour of temptation, for help in the time of duty, and for succour in the day of trial. We have been compelled to go to our God for our souls, as constant beggars asking for everything. Bear witness, children of God, you have never been able to get anything for your souls elsewhere. All the bread your soul has eaten has come down from heaven, and all the water of which it has drank has flowed from the living rock, Christ Jesus the Lord. Your soul has never grown rich in itself. It has always been a pensioner upon the daily bounty of God. And hence your prayers have ascended to heaven for a range of spiritual mercies, all but infinite. Your wants were innumerable, and therefore the supplies have been infinitely great, and your prayers have been as varied as the mercies have been countless. Then have you not cause to say, I love the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. For as your prayers have been many, so also have been God's answers to them. He has heard you in the day of trouble, has strengthened you and helped you, even when you dishonoured him by trembling and doubting at the mercy seat. Remember this, and let it fill your heart with gratitude to God, who has thus graciously heard your poor weak prayers. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We trust that Spurgeon's devotional today has been a blessing to you. And this is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton. And we thank you for joining in and listening to our program today. We invite you back tomorrow, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., as we come again to bring the Word of God to you. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.